We like to do things by the numbers. We're all about commerce and community. Welcome to The Upswing, presented by Oricon Bank, the natural choice for all your banking needs. Now for the host that's always on The Upswing, Jeff Sherman.
Now, to business, gentlemen.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, Milwaukee, wherever you're, whatever you're doing this morning. Hope you got there safely. Big day ahead for sure. So health and travel are so very important in the business world. Obviously, you need healthy employees to power success, but climate and even some seasonal changes can have big impact on businesses. We're going to explore kind of the coming very soon seasonal allergy season and its impact on business, what to know, how to combat it. And then we're going to explore Great Lakes travel. Now, how's that for business diversity here on The Upswing? You got some seasonal allergies. You have some seasonal travel. Whole lot of impact all around. First, I saw this morning. I need to stay on top of the ever-evolving, changing AI scene. Yum Brands and NVIDIA are teaming up to bring artificial intelligence to its restaurants. So Yum owns and franchises over 61,000 restaurants across the country, Taco Bell's, KFC's, Pizza Hut. They said yesterday that with a collaboration with NVIDIA, it's going to allow them to roll out AI ordering through drive-thrus, NVIDIA-powered computer vision, and restaurant performance assessment fueled by AI. It's all about making that drive-thru experience more efficient and probably a bit more cost-effective on the restaurant side. Obviously, fast food chains have been testing AI in drive-thrus for a while, but really drilling down to get accuracy of order, using AI to figure out what and who to schedule, and then looking at AI ordering and how to best order the supplies you need. It all works together. NVIDIA and Yum Brands are kind of taking that relationship to the next step. As I said, summer on our mind today. That means not only seasonal allergies, I have a secret weapon that I want to talk about, but I need to talk to a medical doctor about this. I am not a medical doctor, but I have a drug-free, about $8 solution that works really well for me. But we're going to talk to a medical doctor about what this solution looks like and whether it's good for you. And then in 2025, Great Lakes Cruises are projected to welcome more than 22,000 passengers, 10% increase from 2024. We're going to talk with Lauren Bennett McKinney, who is the director at Explore Minnesota. She's also the board chair of Great Lakes USA. But first, as we do each and every morning, I got a couple things you need to know about. Let's go to Up.
Now it's time for the
Two
Up on The Upswing.
First up, the Facebook tell-all book is available. Well, it's still available. The editor-at-large at Wired.com, Stephen Libby, might have summarized this perfectly. He said, please pause for a moment here to savor the irony. Meta, the company that recently announced an end to its fact-checking in posts seen by potentially millions of people, is now griping that an author didn't fact-check with them. But here's the story. Sarah Lynn Williams is a former global policy director at Facebook. Last week, Meta, the parent company of Facebook, won an emergency ruling from an arbiter to stop her from promoting or distributing her new book, Careless People. They said that it violates a non-disparagement clause in her severance agreement. But the book is a really interesting look into her time as a governmental executive at Facebook. I'm about 60 pages into it. It's really well written. It's funny, even a bit dark at times. But if you're interested in the early origins of Facebook, I highly recommend you find the book. The author is a former New Zealand diplomat. She spent more than 6 years serving as Facebook's liaison to many foreign leaders before she was let go in 2017. The opening story is amazing. It's about a shark attack. I'm just going to leave it there. Put it on your to-read list. $16.99 if you're buying it on Apple. You're buying it on Amazon. It was about $23.09. Next up, GMF. FTW for the win. The Greater Milwaukee Foundation has issued $800,000 in affordable capital, fueled by a combination of donor generosity, semi-public investment, and investment capital. The Greater Milwaukee Foundation recently provided $800,000 in new small business loans to enterprises all through the region. The investment is going to support 16 local businesses with a matching grant for $300,000 that was awarded to the foundation through the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation's Capital Catalyst Program. There are 13 full-time jobs and 27 part-time jobs involved in these companies, from Milwaukee to Burlington to Menominee Falls, West Allis, and more. Kudos to the Greater Milwaukee Foundation for continuing to build our region's economy. When we come back, we're going to dive into seasonal allergies. I got questions. This is The Upswing. You're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Dr. Monica Vasudev is an allergist with Aurora Healthcare. She joins us on the phone this morning. Doctor, how is your day going this morning?
Great, Jeff. Good morning. Thank you for having me on The Upswing.
Of course. So I wanted to dive into the coming very soon seasonal allergy season. When does the season typically begin in the Midwest, and how long does it last?
Oh, great question. So we are definitely on the beginning of the season. It is in the Midwest, typically mid-March. That's now. And the first set of pollens that come up at this time are tree pollens, and this season lasts usually until the end of May.
Okay, so the main things we have to look out for in terms of the main allergens in the Midwest, is it tree pollens? Does it change in late spring, early summer, and then late summer and fall? Kind of walk us through the allergens to be aware of.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So in the Midwest, we have the tree pollen that starts now. That goes until the end of May, as I said earlier. We then have grass pollens that start in May and typically around July. We have weeds that occur in June, July, and August. And then a big culprit is the ragweed, which begins mid-August and will continue until the first hard frost. But in addition to the pollens, we also have molds that are indoor and outdoor, and the molds also occur spring through fall.
Ah, okay. So what are the common symptoms then? It seems, sometimes it's hard to know, do I go to work? Is it a cold? Is it allergies? Just walk us through from a patient standpoint. Somebody comes in and wants an evaluation. Hey, is this seasonal allergies or is it something else? How do I know?
So, yeah, let me break that up into the two parts. So the first is, what are your symptoms or that you're feeling during pollen seasons, or how do you know you have allergies? So you could have itchy, watery eyes, a stuffy nose, runny nose, itchy nose, postnasal drip, the fluid going down the back of your throat. For some, it can trigger asthma symptoms like cough, wheeze, shortness of breath, and chest tightness.
Mm-hmm.
And how would you know if that was an allergy versus a cold is a great question, because there's a lot of overlap between both. With a cold, you might also have other viral symptoms like body ache, a fever. There might be other people that are sniffling at home at the same time as you. And those symptoms will go away in a couple of weeks. You might also have like mucus. You might have mucus that's yellow-green in color, versus allergies, which can last for weeks to months. It can happen in a pattern that you notice that every spring or every fall that you're having these prolonged symptoms. So it kind of is a little bit of guesswork and looking back as to how you felt at different times that can help. But ultimately, if you really want to know what you're allergic to or if you have allergies, there are blood tests and skin testing that can be done to help determine that for you.
So how do we, as we get into the peak allergy season here, reduce our exposure to allergens? If we're in the office all day or if we're at home, are there certain things in terms of, you know, maybe keeping windows closed or what we're wearing outside? Kind of walk us through that prevention a little bit, please.
Oh, definitely. I want to start off by saying is that we all deserve spring in Wisconsin.
That is good.
We want to enjoy the outdoors. But this is what I'm going to say is just to kind of make sure that you feel better in that season. So if the pollen counts are high or you feel like the allergens are triggering, you do not feel well, is to minimize exposure to those pollens. And how do we do that? One is we stay indoors. We keep the windows closed. We turn on the air conditioning. If we do go outdoors, then we come back in, take a shower, wash our hair, change our clothes, minimize the amount of pollens that's on us mm-hmm. as we come home. Also understanding time of day. If it's in the morning before the dew dries, the pollen's being trapped in the dew and it's heavier, not as airborne. So if you're out in the morning, then you might have less pollen exposure than later in the day when the dew is dry, the pollen then becomes airborne, you're breathing more in. Washing your hands, making sure you're not rubbing your eyes and introducing pollens that are on your hands to your eyes, things like that. Are just small things that can help you feel better in this season.
Dr. Monica Vasudev is with Aurora Healthcare. When we come back, Doctor, I have a secret weapon, I think, at least that works for me really well. I want to run this idea past you. You're listening to The Upswing. This is WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Shervin. The seasonal allergy season is upon us. I want to keep you safe and provide some opportunity for you to just, all right, what is a cost-effective way to maybe keep those nasal passages open so that you can do what you need to do each and every day? Dr. Monica Vasudev, an allergist with Aurora Healthcare, joins us. Doctor, again, I appreciate your time. So I have what I like to think is a bit of a secret weapon, and I use it every day, several times a day, even in non-allergy season. Drug-free, no side effects. I think it's a bit of a miracle drug. It's like $7.99 for 4.5 ounces. Those nasal saline solutions, just a little nasal mist in the morning, maybe in the afternoon and evening. It just, I don't know. Is this something that you would recommend each and every day for everyone? Because it totally works for me, and I want to just know, is it just like that I've taught myself to believe it's true?
Jeff, I think that is fantastic that you have found the secret weapon. We are 100% behind you when it comes to this weapon. So a saline rinse is like a mini shower for your nose. It clears out all the pollens, the dust, anything that might be irritating your nose. In addition, it also will clear out your viruses and your bacteria and anything that might make you be feeling well, like a sinus infection. It's very simple. It's stuff that you can buy, but you can also make it at home. You can use a sinus rinse bottle, or you can use an irrigation system that, again, you can get from any pharmacy. And you can even make the solution if you don't have the pre-mixed packets for you. And what you can do is you can take a quarter teaspoon of kosher or pickling salt that's iodine-free, a quarter teaspoon of baking soda, not baking powder, baking soda.
Okay.
And you take 8 ounces of warm distilled water. Sometimes tap water is not safe, but in most cases it can be. But if you mix this all up and you use it the way that you have used it, it actually is a drug-free way. It's a cost-effective way, and it is a very effective way of treating any of your symptoms. Using it even before nasal sprays, if you use nasal sprays, mm-hmm. makes your nasal spray work better. It makes you feel less stuffy because it takes away all the things that can block the air passage. And it is a fantastic way to address allergies. So congratulations
all
for
right.
finding such a...
Thank you for fulfilling my self-diagnosis. I appreciate it. So what are some of the other treatments available for seasonal allergies, like long-term and short-term?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So I always like to think of allergy treatment tailored to the seasons that make you feel unwell, so you don't feel that you have to be committed to taking these medicines all the time, unless, of course, you have a cat at home, you're allergic to your cat, is there's three types. You have nasal sprays, you have antihistamine tablets or allergy tablets, and then you also have eye drops. In the nose sprays, you have two types of nose sprays. You have the steroid nose sprays and the antihistamine nose sprays. Again, these are all available over the counter. The steroid nose sprays are effective if they've been used 2 weeks or longer, and that is actually the mainstay, the best way, the single best medication to take for allergies rather than the allergy tablets, because allergies most commonly make people feel tired because they don't get good quality sleep, mm-hmm. they feel stuffy, and also the allergy tablets can also make you tired. So the symptoms and the treatment are both making you tired. But if you do the nasal spray, also with the saline rinses that you talked about, you're opening up the nasal passages so that you get better oxygenated air, you're sleeping better, you get restful sleep, and that's actually the best treatment. Use the tablets just to kind of rescue you when you know that symptoms are really bad, or you know you're going somewhere where the pollen counts are going to be high. And then the eye drops are to be used as needed.
Okay.
A lot of products over the counter contain multiple medications, and not all of them are safe, especially some of the nasal sprays that are marketed as allergy sprays. Better to talk to your clinician, your provider, your doctor, your medical team to see what is safe for you based on what works. And that actually is, a good reason to see, your doctor or your an allergist, to be able to figure out what medicines to use when and to see if they are safe or not, even if they're available over the counter.
I truly appreciate your time this morning, Doctor. And that's really what we wanted to do. We want to make sure that people are able to go to work, go to school, and just are productive and kind of living their best lives, even with kind of the allergy attacks that can come, because the pollen counts getting a little higher, especially on the warm, dry, windy days, early in the morning, rain, and climate change can continue to affect everything that is in our environment. So I appreciate your time this morning, Dr. Monica Vasudev from Aurora Healthcare. Enjoy the rest of your day. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you, Jeff.
Cruise the Great Lakes and Great Lakes USA, ramping up the summer travel season. We'll explore it from a Minnesota lens, from a Canada versus USA lens, and more. That's next. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Today, leaders from Cruise the Great Lakes and Great Lakes USA held a big event at Discovery World, just outside downtown Milwaukee on beautiful Lake Michigan. Representatives from the organization, state and local officials discussed the 2025 cruising and tourism season and the region's continued investment in making sure that it's desirable for cruise ships, but also that all the ports are healthy and ready to take on an additional tourism, I don't want to say burden, but an additional tourism economic impact, because that's what tourism is all about. Lauren Bennett McGinty is the director of Explore Minnesota. She's also the board chair for Great Lakes USA, a regional tourism consortium that's made up of the Great Lakes states and provinces. She's in Milwaukee today, and she's in studio with us right now. Lauren, thanks for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. So first, I want to talk a little bit about Wisconsin and Minnesota, and from your lens there with tourism, you've had some good impact around tax incentives for movies and TV production. And in our governor's budget for 2025 to 2027, we're looking for companies to be able to receive 25% of wages and salaries that it pays to Wisconsin employees for services related to filming and broadcasting as a non-refundable tax credit. What's the impact been in Minnesota with TV and movie production?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's been pretty big. In the 90s was really our golden time. Of course, we had a lot of really great films done in Minnesota, like Fargo or the Mighty Ducks series. But lately, we've had, since our tax incentive went into place in 2021, we've had 14 films made in Minnesota, all meeting the minimum threshold for our tax credit program. And we continue to grow that every single day. So what we're doing right now, since our film program was just moved under Explore Minnesota at the state back in July of last year, we've started doing more marketing campaigns around it and making sure that we're kind of promoting Minnesota as a great place to film.
That's good. That's good. Well, we're going to continue to advocate for that in Wisconsin here on the show, because I think it's really important to, not only collaborate with Minnesota, but just to bring more spotlight to all the good in the greater Midwest. And that's what it's all about.
Absolutely.
And that's what we're doing with the Great Lakes as well. I want to have you talk a bit about the event today and the impact on Great Lakes tourism that not only the cruise ships, but all the port communities in the Great Lakes deliver in the summer. Let's kind of first look from an airfare and cruise point. I saw that Delta is launching flights from Dublin to Detroit. Aer Lingus is starting direct flights to Indianapolis beginning in May. How does the Great Lakes USA plan to capitalize on these new international connections? Because I think, at least, maybe I'm wrong, but I'm going to ask you, are the people taking these cruises mainly international travels?
So that's a great question, and it depends on the cruise line, actually. Okay. So some cruise lines are much more focused on American travelers, and Cruise of the Great Lakes, the sort of partner organization to Great Lakes USA, focuses on how are we sort of advocating for cruising the Great Lakes and marketing it both domestically and internationally. Viking Cruises, for example, has a huge international footprint, so they tend to get more international travelers. And so for us, being able to capitalize on new routes and new cities is always good, because it has more opportunities for a starting place and more itineraries.
Okay. What are some of the strategies that you're using to encourage tourism to kind of the lesser known attractions and neighborhoods in the Great Lakes?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, I think one of the best parts about the Great Lakes is that we have so many lesser known places.
Yeah, right.
And that's kind of a key component of the work we're doing, is trying to raise awareness of our region. And so being able to put stops along the lake and have people kind of see it for the first time has been really fun. I think, too, one of the nice things about the cruising side is you get to go on those shore excursions. And what we've heard is people love being able to see parts of the country they didn't really know existed, but also that they get greeted with some of that really beautiful Midwest hospitality that we're all known for.
Yeah. I mean, is that, and also kind of a creative challenge too, because if you have lesser known destinations, does it require more marketing spend to amplify those?
It does. And I think partially what we have to do, especially in the Great Lakes region, is focus around some of the bigger cities and branch off from there. So you get to get people to fly into places like Chicago, Minneapolis, St. Paul, or Detroit. And then from there, you kind of build those itineraries around the lakes and kind of talk about some of those key places that you can get to via car. And then, of course, as you're traveling, you get fun stops along the way.
Yeah. Lauren Bennett McKinney joins us from Explore Minnesota and Great Lakes USA. When we come back, we'll talk a bit about the Canadian border and its impact on our wonderful Great Lakes. You're listening to The Upswing. This is WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Lauren Bennett McKinney is the director of Explore Minnesota, also board chair of Great Lakes USA. Lauren joins us in studio this morning. Lauren's a Milwaukee native, actually, so it's good. How's it feel to be home, Lauren?
It always feels good to be home. Yeah, I always say I was almost born and raised in Minnesota, but my whole family is still here, so it's fun to be back.
What are your impressions of downtown Milwaukee? I know you haven't been here for a long time, but just, I always like to compare and contrast Minneapolis and Milwaukee. They're both really unique and wonderful in their own rights. But for someone that was here as a child and now back, what are your impressions of downtown Milwaukee?
Yeah, I mean, every time I come back to downtown, something's new, something's different. It's really fun. When we were out at the Discovery Center, it was really great to just see all the work that's been done down on the riverfront. And I think the differences are definitely that certainly you kind of have the big lake here, but we have a big river in our downtown. Yes. So those are similarities too. But I think there's this sort of lovely old world charm about downtown Milwaukee that is just really fun to see when you're walking around.
I love it. See, Minnesotans, Wisconsinites, we can all get along, right? We can play well together and collaborate. And, you know, one way, obviously, that the states collaborate is around the Great Lakes. When you look at U.S. and Canada tourism strategy for the Great Lakes, what is that proposition from the Council of the Great Lakes region? And what does that look like? And has it been impacted with recent political events at all?
So I think one of the really special things about Great Lakes USA and Cruise the Great Lakes is that we actually work really closely with Canadian partners along the border. It's a sort of a subgroup of the Great Lakes, St. Lawrence governors and premiers. And we've been able to really have positive relationships, whether it's through cruising because we have to cross border in the middle of a lake or promoting the region. I think it's been really fun to be able to say, oh, you can visit two countries in one traveling experience. And we just really enjoy having those friendships and collaborative experiences with our Canadian neighbors.
That's good. Yeah. I mean, when you look at, the investment there, I think $500 million in terms of the impacts of the cruise industry, how do you work directly to incent more cruise lines to travel to our wonderful ports around the Great Lakes?
I think it's a combination of development, but also success. So we've had most of the cruise lines that book through the Great Lakes are totally booked every season, which is fantastic. And then you've got a lot of different points of turnaround or embarkment that are starting to kind of develop and build up. So even here in Milwaukee, we just heard that they got $5 million to be able to kind of finish building out the port and be able to host the boats right there. In Duluth, in Minnesota, we finished our seawall. So now we can have people actually dock. And so it sounds a little complicated, but most of it is it's about development. And it's kind of, if you build it, people will come.
Yeah. How is the tactics and the strategies for international marketing changed from the tourism lens in the last couple of years?
Yeah, I think it's interesting when you look at the UK and Germany and Ireland, they still love going to different travel agents to book their travel. And so for us, it's really how do we connect with tour operators, travel agents to make sure that they know how to tell our stories and they have itineraries for people. But I will say for a lot of the guests that we get in our region, it's sort of their second or third visit to the United States. They want something a little different. They want to be able to drive. They've done maybe California and New York and they want to go middle of the country. So we get sort of median age is a little bit older, but it's a group that's more interested in heritage, culture, and kind of a more unique experience.
Yeah. Are you finding that like the targeted digital advertising and working directly with the travel agents, are those the two best ways to reach the potential travelers?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think also, we're starting to see more and more people traveling for things like sporting events. American football has become really big in the UK and Germany, too. And so being able to kind of capitalize on those types of activities has been great.
Very good. We're talking with Lauren Bennett McKinney from Explore Minnesota and Great Lakes USA. This is The Upswing. You're listening to WTMJ.
Is that coffee?
That's it. I'm getting 100 cups of coffee starting now.
Time for a quick look at your coffee and how much it costs. It's the Upswing's Coffee Index.
How's it going?
Welcome back to the Upswing. I know it's approaching 11 a.m., but maybe you're going for that second cup of coffee, and we want to make sure, at least every 10 days or so, that we're updating prices in and around the area. So much talk about cocoa beans and coffee beans and cost explosions. But I'm really finding, at least at the local places, that the prices are remaining fairly steady. I went to my tried and true neighborhood Colectivo this morning. I just did my 12-ounce coffee. Whatever the blend of the day was, still sitting at $2.75 for that 12-ounce coffee from Colectivo. So the prices staying steady, but we're keeping an eye on them for you. So maybe today it's a good day to get that second cup of coffee because you know, it's still pretty affordable and it's good and good for you. Coffee, all the nutrients are packed right there for you. So get that second cup. All right, let's take a quick look at Oak Creek and the Buc-ee's Travel Center project. There are members from the Oak Creek Neighbors United Coalition that are considering legal action following last night's 5-1 Common Council votes that amended the 2020 Comprehensive Plan Land Use Plan for three parcels to be rezoned right along South 27th Street there in Oak Creek to move forward this big Buc-ee's project development. And anytime you have neighborhood opposition of a big development project, you want to be mindful of all sides of the coin, right? It's really easy to make this residents versus development, neighbors versus moving the community forward with a huge development that, yes, will have impacts. But during the meeting last night, the group handed out flyers saying no to rezoning for Buc-ee's in Oak Creek. Flyers included information for a GoFundMe that's going to help cover legal fees. Already raised, I haven't checked it over break, but it's about $2,900 to cover $3,500 in legal fees to hire an attorney. It's actually in Shorewood to cover some legal expenses to fight the project. Now, going through these type of things, I've been through many of these before. You want all sides. You want all sides to get to that win-win. And there's a lot of things that I think can be remedied. Maybe it's landscaping. Maybe it's taking care of some of the noise, some noise abatement. Maybe it's looking at some investments in some community projects in Oak Creek. The neighbors, yes, they have their concerns. But when you look at a project of this impact and this magnitude that will really be a tourism destination, of course, you want to be mindful of the impacts of the neighbors. But you got to look into their box and make sure that Buc-ee's is taking care of the community too. I think lawsuits like this can encourage healthy dialogue and get to the point where, hey, let's find some win-win in this development for everyone.
These are your business headlines from the Milwaukee Business Journal.
UW-Milwaukee has announced the finalists for its vacant chancellor position. The final four candidates come from within the UW system and also universities in New York and Georgia. Just 2 weeks after releasing its most expensive motorcycle ever, Harley-Davidson is dropping the price on its cheapest model by $2,000. The Milwaukee company will now offer its 2025 Nightster for just under $10,000 compared to around $12,000 for the 2024 model. Finally, Pleasant Prairie has approved the operational plan for a multi-billion dollar expansion for Eli Lilly. The Indianapolis-based drug maker plans to spend $3 billion and add 750 employees in Kenosha County. I'm Drew Dawson from MilwaukeeBusinessJournal.com on 620 WTMJ.